Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yom. And today we're going to be focusing on the 46th chapter, Perek Mem Vav of Sefer Yeshayahu. The next few prokem are somewhat shorter, so it is less ground to cover on a daily basis. There is a lot of fascinating topics here. This particular perek is focusing on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's putting idol worship into perspective. So the first little section of this perek, which runs, we could divide this up from Aleph to Zion, really is a basic overview where HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes, in this mocking way, how the Babylonian idols will crouch and fall over, sort of helplessly. And he describes how they'll be loaded on his burdens to their animals, tired, carrying them away into captivity. And Hashem really questions them. He says, if they're being taken in captive and they're sort of a burden to the donkeys holding them, how can they save you? They can't save themselves from exile. They can't even carry themselves to exile. What can they possibly do for you? That's the question that HaKadosh Baruch Hu poses implicitly in his description of the idols. Then he turns and he flips it 180 degrees. And Hashem says, but Israel, when they're led into Golos, when they're taken into exile, they're being carried by me. The opposite of the idols. I'm carrying them from the womb. That's how deep the relationship goes. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani osisi, ani eso. I made them and therefore I carry them. Ani espo va'amaleit. I will carry their burden and I will help them out. I'll help them escape. That means to say, now let's just think about the diametric opposite description or metaphor over here. The people made their avodah zarah and they carry their gods. Our God created us and he carries us. That's what Yeshayahu is saying over here. He goes on in the last description, saying our HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately questions the very premise of Avodah Zarah itself, and he says, you measure out your gold and silver, you make it into its little idol, into its little image, and you place it on the mantelpiece, but it can't even move. So therefore, Av Yitzhak Ela V'lo Yannes. Of course, if you're going to call out to it, what good does it do? And yes, today, although we don't have Avodah Zarah in the same way, we're not bowing down to sticks and stones. There are other inanimate objects in our lives which take the place of sometimes the relationships we should be having in our lives. There are things we also put onto the mantelpiece that we worship. There are certain inanimate objects which play a very central, overly central role in our own lives. This is what Yeshayahu is questioning. One basic question, when is this, in this section, in the end of the section over here, what Golos is Yeshayahu referring to, that the Jews are being led into Golos and being born or carried by Hashem? So Mitzvot points out that it's something very contemporary to Yeshayahu. He's talking to the people of the time, so he's talking about the Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim, the Golos of the 10 tribes, which occurs towards the beginning of his career. However, the Rashi points out, no, it's from time immemorial. From the time that Yaakov Avinu was pursued by Lavan, from that persecution onwards, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been carrying us throughout all the Golios. It may not look like he's there, but he's there, he's holding our hand, he's shielding us the entire time. The next section over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks about, in the next few psukim from Ches to Yud Aleph, HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks about, where do you see real power? He says, Zichru zos v'his o'ashu, v'his o'ishashu, v'hashivu po'ashim alev. Notice this. Notice what I'm about to tell you. Zichru rishonas me'olam. Remember history. Ki anochi kel ve'ein oid elokim ve'efes kamoni. There was no power at the beginning except me. I allowed other powers to develop, but I'm the one who was at the beginning. And when I was there, I was magid me'reshis achres. I talked about what the future would look like from the beginning. So I understand, I'm there. Anything I want will happen because I dictated it before the things that are here to get in its way were. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. And Hashem then ends off the section by saying, Korem Mizrach Ayit Me'eretz Merchok Ish Atzasi. I called the Ayit, I called the eagle from the east, and the man to do my biddings. Dibarti Af Avienu, Yotzarti Af Asenu. I spoke to him, and I created him to come. And finally, he closes off the perek by saying, listen to me, Abirei Lev, listen to me, the cruel ones of heart, those who are far from tzedakah, from righteousness. I am bringing my tzedakah, my justice, and my Yeshua is just around the corner. And Israel is going to come back to their land, and they're going to find splendor in me once again. That's how he ends the perek. What is this referring to? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, obviously, the general tone of this is, I existed before any other powers that you worship. I predate any of these, and I predicted that they would exist. Obviously, my plan is going to come to its full conclusion, and the Babylonians are this cruel nation. They're going to be surprised when the final power is going to come. But what does it mean that he's calling this ayat, this eagle, from the east? Who is he referring to exactly? So some of them, for Hashem, like the Mitzudos and the Radak, for instance, say that this is referring to Cyrus the Great. Once again, because we're dealing with Babylonian exile here, the one who's going to end the Babylonian exile is going to be when the Persians, Darius, ultimately Cyrus, are going to take over from the Babylonian kingdom and take full control once again and allow the Jews back to the land of Israel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's machinations are going to be able to allow them to succeed. However, there's a fascinating Rashi here. Rashi is unbelievable. Rashi says, no, you know who the ayat is. Who's this eagle of the east? Well, that actually refers to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was this eagle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu summoned. He was the Ish Atzasi. He was the man of my advice, of my counsel, because he's the one who started with the seed of monotheism and taught it and spread it and developed it into a nation to be the patriarch of this nation. I was the one who seeded monotheism in this world and allowed it to develop into the nation and all the daughter religions that developed out of monotheistic Judaism as a continuation of that same theme, even though perverted somewhat. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, says Rashi. And in fact, Rashi takes it one step further. That's why it is that Avraham Avinu at the Bris Ben HaBesorim was taken through the Besorim, the cut pieces of four animals, because Avraham Avinu saw from the beginning that he would have to go through four adversities, four galuyos, and nonetheless he would come out at the other end. And by the way, now that we're on the topic, it's interesting to notice that there was an ayat, there was an eagle at the Bris Ben HaBesorim. It wasn't one of the sacrifices, it was the bird, it was the eagle that tried to land on the carcasses. What does that mean? Why is Yeshayahu referencing the Bris Ben HaBesorim? The Ababinel also notes this. The Ababinel notices this parallel and he says, the ayat, the eagle, is Mashiach, for who we are all waiting for, as the song says. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming down and bringing Mashiach, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, as the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says there in Parshas Lech Lecha, this is the ayat, this is the ultimate redemption which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is presenting. It may be Babylon at the time that Yeshayahu is talking about, but it's no longer Babylon, it's other nations, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, the eagle comes. Be'ezras Hashem, we should be able to see it with our own eyes. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.